Welcome to another episode of the Finding Strong Podcast. I'm Coach Mark Bottenhorn, and I'm joined by ultra endurance athlete, my friend, my training partner, Arthur Blue. And our episodes touch on a variety of topics, including performance, fitness, nutrition, and mental health, as well as mindset. If you're here, we're happy you're here. We're happy that you found us. Now let's dive in to this week's episode. Hello, and what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another Strong Session. I'm Mark Bottenhorn, and I'm sitting alongside the one and only Arthur Blue. Arthur, what's good?
What's up, brother? How's it going?
It's good. I just finished, just over 5 mile run at 6:26 average pace, and got a strength session in the gym. Feeling pretty good. Feeling back to my normal self after dealing with a little bit of sickness last week. How are you?
Nice, man. I'm getting there. I'm slowly but surely building back to running pain-free. Did the Stairmaster this morning. Felt good after coming off of that. And then did some back workout as we prepare for this next training block.
That sounds good. I'm excited for this training block. It should be a good one for you. Excited to see you race soon and be able to do it kind of injury-free, because last time you were nursing that injury. So, yeah. While it was a great mental test to fight through that, I'm sure you would have rather been in 100% physical shape. So,
yeah, but that's part of the journey, man. Is you take it, the wins with the losses, the good with the bad, and you just adjust and pivot where necessary and just keep trucking.
100%. I think, jumping into the strong session this week, I think that we both kind of pride ourselves on being leaders to some degree. Right. Like, I think it's probably both of our a strong suit for both of us in a lot of ways. But you said something on the last podcast again that left me pretty intrigued, and you talked about an apprentice mindset. And I want to dive more into that, because I thought I'm always trying to learn. So I want to dive more into the apprentice mindset. Why don't you tell me what that means for you and how you meant it?
Yeah, man. So for me, the apprentice mindset is, always having a lust for learning, always asking questions, seeking mentors, people who, that you have grown to respect and in some ways idolize, and asking about their journey and never feeling like you've arrived and knowing that there's always something to learn, right? Like, and that's something that's happened in our relationship, right? Like, I'm taking on an apprentice role, and you've already established a podcast. You've coached and trained before. You've done things that I've personally never accomplished, and I'm always asking questions of you and learning from you, even though we're close in age, even though we're close in our skill set and ability level, but it's things that I just don't have the knowledge of. And in order to get better, you have to humble yourself and ask those questions to grow. And I think at the bare minimum, that's what an apprentice mindset is to me, is just constantly asking questions and knowing to, like, you can find the answers through questions, but you have to humble yourself. And that's what leadership is. A good leader is a humble leader, a servant leader, and knows how to ask those questions to make themselves and their teams better.
Okay. Yeah, no, I love that. And yeah, just as you're probably learning things from me, I'm learning things from you as well. And I think that's, we talk about it a lot, the iron sharpens iron, or the kind of Mount Rushmore thing, where you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time around. Yep. And so choose wisely, right? And I think that all of that plays a role there. So I'd say the feeling is entirely mutual. I've noticed that in the best mental times for me, when I'm doing the best with my own mental health, when I'm doing the best training, is a time where I'm learning more. And something I haven't figured out in the past is, am I learning more in that situation because I'm open or receptive to it, or is it because my mental health is better, so it's allowing me to seek out guidance from others more? And either way, I'm sure it's probably in some way symbiotic, like, right, it's a little bit of both. And then it kind of just becomes a snowball effect. But the truth is I noticed that, again, I'm the best and happiest. We talk about best and happiest when having a routine. I'm also the best and happiest when I'm learning. And so to seek out people and learn and sacrifice to do so, I think is a huge asset, right? So how can that apprentice mindset make you better as an endurance athlete? How can it make you better in life? How can it make you better in your career? That's a question I have for you, Arthur.
Yeah, I think it's just that, right? It's seeking out those mentors or people that you know, if it's we can use a triathlon for an example, right? Where it's multiple disciplines in that sport. And if you're not a strong swimmer, then guess what you need to do? You need to spend more time in a pool than you probably do on a bike and running. So I think finding those things that force you to grow through uncomfortable situations. And that's probably where you need to spend most of your time. Right. And so like, as I'm establishing my next block to prepare to go into Leadville, and I'll say this on this podcast right now, to finish in the top 10%, I know certain things that I'll have to sacrifice. And that is one, you know, structuring my fitness around more running, more climbing, doing things that I don't naturally gravitate towards, but I know that is going to make me better. So sacrificing the weights for that. And so I think finding what you're not good at and what challenges you the most and running towards that. And it's uncomfortable, but that's where the growth is. That's where you grow in those uncomfortable situations, is running to the sound of that gunfire and knowing that, hey, I'm at an apprentice level right now, but eventually I want to master that. And then I'll move to the next target and find something else to master in order to be a better person, a better athlete, a better husband, a better father, whatever it may be. Run to the sound of what is physically demanding of you and what makes you uncomfortable.
Okay. Yeah. So I think a lot of people, like right now, it's a really hot topic to talk about lifelong learning, right? It's a really, mm-hmm. it's a really trending thing. But the reality is that a lot of people do that, but they continue to follow the path of where they're comfortable, right? So they don't, yep. they don't kind of see the bigger opportunity kind of in expanding into, new areas altogether. So you're saying become more well-rounded, have more arrows in your quiver by yeah. seeking discomfort, getting out of your comfort zone, and improving in the areas where you actually need to improve most. Yeah. You know, I think that's perfect. And I think that another area that we talk about when we're talking about being like apprentice mode or lifelong learning is learning to kind of love the pain and frustration of the process, right? So instead of just learning from other people, right, learning to see the beauty in the discomfort, learning yep. to see the beauty in the process itself, the setbacks, the failures. Everybody says like, oh, losing is sometimes better than winning because you learn more about yourself when you lose. That's a really like cliche thing to say, but it's actually probably true. And the reality is when you can learn from the setbacks, you can learn from the discomfort, you can learn from the pain, the frustration, that's when you can get the most out of that process. And I think about that quite often. Some of the biggest lessons in my life have come from some of these failures that I've had in ultra endurance and failures that I've had in business and stuff like that. So one example is I lost a large sum of money in business. And I didn't mm-hmm. lose it by making a bad investment or anything like that. Like I physically lost the money. I don't know where it is still. I'm not sure which account it went to, anything like that. And as a result, it's made me tighten up my finances even better. It's made me be more on top of everything. And this was a long time ago. So that money's probably gone. I don't know what I did with it. But the reality is that now that won't happen again because I've learned so much from it, that I've put so many fail safes in place, that I've done so much logging, that I've done so much data around it, that I've learned to be smarter fiscally. So that's one way that I guess I was kind of being a lifelong apprentice in that situation. So I guess what else do you pull from that? Like what else does the kind of lifelong apprentice mean to you?
I think another one that's oftentimes like not truly respected and is seeking mentorship is something that a lot of people may not be comfortable with or may have too much pride around. But I think especially for men, finding other men that can shape and mold you and help develop you to help you grow to the level that you want to become, right? And finding healthy, positive mentors to just help develop you. If it's something, whether it be entrepreneurship, whether it be fitness, whether it be, you know, you see a guy and you like the way he, you know, represents himself with his family, you know, just finding mentorship. And same for women, same thing could be said for women, is finding those people that you idolize or look up to or, you know, kind of want to emulate, and just surrounding yourself with that and asking the hard questions, you know, like, what would you do if you were in my shoes? Like, what are some mistakes that you made that you, you know, would like to tell your younger self, and your younger self being me right now? And so putting yourself in situations where you're forced to grow is again, like just, I think that's just a staple of this whole thing, is just constantly finding people to sharpen you, to push you and hold you accountable. in a way that you'll feel it, right? Like, 'cause some people don't respond to yelling and other things like that, but you have to know how to communicate that. And so just having people around you that can hold you accountable and force you to level up in ways that you didn't even know was possible, but you know, you're grateful for it and you're thankful for it.
Perfect. Yeah, no, that's true. You know, I met, like, early on in my professional career, I met people and they would often talk about my mentor this or my mentor that. And I'll admit, I thought initially, man, that seems like cultish. It seems like a pyramid scheme. It seems like this guy might be trying to sell me on something. Yeah. But as I've kind of worked through my 20s into my 30s, I've started to like examine the habits of people that I deem as successful. Mm-hmm. Or that I find successful. And what I've noticed often is they do have strong mentorship, whether it's mentorship within their career, which is really important, but also mentorship outside of their career with people that they want to maybe emulate, people they want to learn from, people that they want to grab something from. So I think that's so true. And I think we can do it with coaches. We can do it with friends. We can do it with really anybody that's open to it. But you're right. That is such a valuable tool that I think is kind of many times underrepresented or underestimated. So that's great. Yeah. Anything else you want to add to this, Arthur?
Well, yeah. And I was going to say, I know oftentimes, like, you know, people aren't truly forthcoming about their development, especially if you want to relate it to the social media world. Everyone's not up there screaming from the rooftops, like, oh, I had a mentor to help get me there. I had someone, you know, invest in me, which is a form of invest financially in me, which is a form of mentorship and someone believes in you. And so I know people see the finished product of someone's success and they oftentimes like, oh, this person did it by themselves, or when oftentimes it's not the case. And the more you lean into their story, you'll find out that they had a lot of hands on them to help mold and shape and develop them. And again, like, mentorship can come in different ways. It doesn't always have to be, it can be a financial investment. It can be a, you know, in-person investment. It can be other ways that people invest their time and energy into you. And you just have to realize what that is and just be open and transparent about it. And I don't know. I think the biggest thing that I want people to take away from this is never stop learning and never stop asking questions, because that's how you level up. If you never ask, if you're that person that shows up to a meeting without a pen and paper and you have nothing to say, you think you have all the answers, then you've already lost. Because every meeting you go to, every call you have, every gym session, whatever it is, you should be asking questions and asking why. How does this affect me? How can I level up from this? And just think about how this ties into your plan and to make sure you're not wasting your time and someone else's time. But I think that apprentice mindset goes deep for leaders. And I think the best leaders carry that apprentice mindset over and they really know how to maximize that philosophy.
Yeah, no, I think, again, more invaluable input from you, Arthur, on this and a topic that I was really excited to jump into. I think really quick before we recap, I will say, you know, a way that this might relate to the endurance world is, you talked about it earlier, maybe doing things in your training plan that you wouldn't normally do. And that's a bias that we all have, right? We want to do what we're comfortable with. So jumping out of it. But another way that this has happened for me is, I've been very fortunate in my time as an endurance athlete to work with some of the best coaches in the world, world-renowned coaches from the endurance side. Like, I'm talking about endurance program, I'm talking about life coaching. And I've been able to take a little piece of what they do, something that I've liked, something that I found successful from their program. I've been able to take a little piece of something from kind of every one of these coaches. They've imparted something on me. And I'm able to actually kind of distill it and spread it out in my coaching programs. And although, like, this stuff is technically mine, right, I often talk about a lot of times how I'm kind of lending it from those who have come before me. And a lot of this stuff is stuff that I found useful from other coaches that I put into my day-to-day life, my day-to-day training, and stuff that I pass on to my athletes. And again, mm-hmm. my athletes being students, by learning from me, and I'd point out that I'm also learning from them. And then me being a student and learning from the coaches, you know, that were there before me. So I'd like to look at it that way. Like, that's been probably the ability to learn from people who are really successful in their field or whatever field that you're training for or whatever it is, That's been the biggest thing for me. So that's good. I want to recap with three takeaways or a couple takeaways, I guess, on it. Obviously, one, the big one is never stop learning, right? Never think that you know it all. Like you said, if you show up thinking that you know it all, you've already lost, because you can learn something valuable about life, about endurance training, about strength training, about nutrition from almost anybody. Maybe when you feel like you've reached a place of comfort, or you've mastered an area, you've reached mastery in the area, maybe disrupt that and go on to an entirely different thing that's still getting you towards your goals that you need to improve on. And then maybe focus on learning skills that are hard for you, right? Because we're naturally going to gravitate towards the things that come very easy and natural to us. So when we can develop the other parts of, let's say, like for me, example, like I can run long all day. Right. I have a lot of I have a big aerobic engine, but I struggle in training and executing the speed work, particularly the high end speed work and the kind of 5K, 10K type training. But I do know it's a weak point for me, especially if I want to run really fast 50Ks. So diving into that kind of head first in a responsible way is something that I'm focused on this training block around. So that's something I wanted to point out right there. But I've kind of done really well on the other stuff, the threshold, the long stuff. And for me to just stay there because it's comfortable is a bad idea. So I want to get uncomfortable with the stuff doesn't come as natural to me.
Yeah. And same could be said for me, man. Like, you know, naturally I'll gravitate to throwing weights around and, you know, sitting in a longer sessions in my runs, but sacrificing those speed workouts, those threshold workouts. And we've kind of poked, you noticed that in my training. And so that's what we're going leaning into heavy with next block. And it does require humility, because a lot of us who've accomplished things, you, me, and other people listening, you're like, well, this has worked for me, but it's not helping you level up. That's what we're talking about, right? Is how do we get to the next level and get the most out of ourselves? And that's what I want people to remember. It's like, you can do what you've been doing and, you know, finish races and compete and do well and do what you're doing and stay in that lane. But if you want to take yourself to the next level, it requires asking those questions of people. It requires making yourself vulnerable. It requires putting yourself in uncomfortable situations to force yourself to grow. Because again, naturally you're going to do what you're good at, but you need someone to help structure you and tell you like, hey, I see you're good at this. Let's put that down for a minute and let's focus on this.
Yeah. The reality is like my friend Brian says, Brian Mazza, nothing changes, right? So, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Like if what you've done has gotten you consistently to top 10 finishes, or top 20 finishes, or PRs or whatever it is, you might start hitting a plateau soon. The reality is, but maybe if you want to take yourself to the next level where it's every race you're competing for podiums, as an example, then it's time to get out of your comfort zone and do what's missing, because you already got the other stuff there and you're not stopping that stuff, but just adding a little bit in and getting uncomfortable can go a long way. So I think that's been perfect, Arthur. I appreciate your input on this as always. I think you have just such brilliant concepts that you come up with. And I know that everybody is going to kind of gain from that listens. But what I will say is, if you're here, Arthur and I greatly appreciate you. Just appreciate the growth of the podcast. Appreciate your loyal following. Appreciate you guys tagging us, sharing stuff with us, reaching out to us, emailing us, all of that. It's been amazing. And, we are grateful. So if you find value in this, please give us 5 stars on wherever it is that you get podcast. And until next time, everybody, stay strong.